Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and prehistoric Russian nuclear reactors. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my good pals. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
Was this episode directed by Stanley Kubrick?
Could have been. Could have been. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
Chernobyl, kind of a stinky place to find yourself.
That's the insight we bring Guy onto this show for.
Just like this podcast. Yeah.
Well, we are here to discuss the latest episode of Legends of Tomorrow, entitled Deus Ex Latrina, for reasons that become apparent in the closing moments of this episode. Later on in the show, we'll have our superhero sweep segment. We'll talk about some other stuff that's been going on. There's just a few things happening in the superhero TV and movie world. First, let's discuss this week's episode of Legends with Guy English taking the recap duty.
Real shoddy work here, but let's just go with it. Bishop and Ava take a maiden voyage in their evil wave rider. Meanwhile, the team is stuck trying to figure out what went wrong with the time machine that is now broken. Ava and Sarah are having a big argument, and the team tries to split them up to get them chilled out with each other again. Why are they having an argument? I can't, like, it seemed like
I don't
they
think
were
it's
fine
even an
week.
Argument so much as just them like stressing each other out a little bit with their ways of handling things.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just that I remember, like, last episode everybody seemed hunky-dory and now they're not, so I was like, I wasn't really sure what the actual argument was about.
Does there need to be a reason?
Yeah,
it's anyway. A CW show.
It doesn't really. It really doesn't. Bishop and Ava had used the bad wave rider to blow up the ship, and then start deploying hoverbots in kind of like an interesting behind the scenes. What if, you know, what were Bishop and Ava doing to cause all of the havoc that we've seen throughout the season? I like that they decide that the next bot is going to have weapons for hands.
Yes. Or laser eyes.
Yeah, laser eyes with guns for hands. Anyway, on the bad wave rider, Gideon manages to blow bad Ava out of the time stream, out of the airlock into the time stream, saying that she was distracting Bishop from his task, which is to, Captain Rex around kind of thing.
He's a time master now.
He's a time master, yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't heard about from those guys in a while.
No.
They're all dead, right?
Right. I guess so.
I think they got blown up.
Yeah, the whole, like, yeah.
He was he worked for them.
For them. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's way back. That's season one territory.
Woof.
Yeah.
We're not gonna go back.
We're not rewatching that.
There will not be a summer rewatch of season one.
No, that area of time is blocked off. It's got police tape all around it.
It's an immutable point. Happen. Yeah.
Can anyone say if it really happened or not?
Bad Gideon and has cloned Bishop, and he's been replaced with a robot. So now Bishop finds himself trapped on the wave rider, the evil wave rider, with having to attend to his time master duties. Back on the ground, it turns out that we're at Chernobyl in 1986. So John, I keep calling him John. His name's not John in this one. It's Gwyn, right?
Yes,
Gwyn.
Gwyn, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So Gwyn and his pals decide to warn everybody to try to save some lives. Obviously, this kicks off a discrepancy in the timeline. And Gideon and Bishop show up to try to kill him, but he can't bring himself to do it because he's realized somehow that the legends were not actually dicks. Just a miscommunication,
maybe
I guess.
I'm the bad guy.
Maybe I'm the baddie.
Are we the baddies?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so he manages to escape the ship via toilet escape pod, the latrina in question, and he lands in a parachute on top of the time machine just as our gang teleport away. Blah, 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 Nate decides to live in the totem with Zari. Who cares? That's what happened. And I think that's basically it. There's like some little side quests to get MacGuffin-y pieces that I kind of didn't care about.
There's some little character moments that I thought. I mean, I thought Zari and Gwyn thing was nice. I mean, we learn a little bit more about his backstory, where he basically was in World War One and left his lover, unclear, I guess, lover or person that he loved to die, right. and felt that he was sort of, you know, he's basically experiencing extreme PTSD from his time in the war.
I didn't bother writing that down. I wasn't enjoying it. It felt, again, a little incongruous with the goofiness of the show, and I keep doing that to this actor. Like, Matt Ryan keeps getting like, would you just get over the angst,
please? He wants something meaty.
I guess so. I mean,
I thought it was all right. I didn't think
it was okay.
As dark as like last season was supposed to be.
it gives him a reason. I liked that it gave him a reason to invent the time machine, right? Which is like, I'm going to go back and fix my mistake, which is, you know, we've all been there.
Time machines.
Yeah,
right?
We've all been there. We all want to go back and fix our mistakes.
That is the original. That is the original. The time machine purpose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
is it?
I think so. Right? Doesn't he want to go back and save?
It's like his wife or something. Like I think she gets hit by trampled by a horse or something. I want to say, boy,
I think it was because it was the 1800s.
Yeah, I was going to say run over by a car, but no, clearly not.
I think so.
Wow. I think that is.
Okay. At least it's definitely in the movie that way.
It is definitely in the movie. Okay. The movie is.
And I read the book a long time ago.
Not great.
Yeah, that's it. That's,
I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for that for some reason. I don't know why. It is not great. That's true. I think the ending is really bad in particular, but I mean, I think there's some nice moments.
I don't even remember most of it.
But,
yeah. It's pretty. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. I kind of like the attempt at, like, that's an old school book. Like, it's going to be pretty wacky by modern standards, right? But like, I like the idea that they would try to put it on the screen. Also, like, all of that thing with the Morlocks is cool and fascinating and sort of underpins a bunch of more modern storytelling.
I was gonna say the Morlock thing also, then I only ever really thought about that in conjunction with X-Men.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah, well.
Until much later when I realized, I see what you did there.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, go for it.
Oh, I want to say the things that I liked in this episode were, I liked that Bishop doesn't end up being the villain because we already had that story. And I like that it's basically, all right, Gideon, the evil Gideon that Bishop created is the villain, straight down to the Hal quote as she blows Ava out the airlock. Because she says, I'm sorry, Ava, I'm afraid I can't do that. And she's got little blue lights everywhere, right? Like, it's not very on the nose.
They were building up to it. They were showing those blue lights, and then they brought it home.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of enjoyed that as a twist, sort of setting up, we have human Gideon that will probably at some point need to deal with robot Gideon and trying to figure out how to reconcile those things.
Human Gideon getting freaky with space creature Gary.
Odd, but all right.
Who I guess we've just decided is now human now. Like,
no, so, well, I think they said like he's fully human with the glasses on. It's
right.
Not just like
it's not just a hologram.
It actually changes.
It wouldn't make sense because he's like 2 feet taller as an alien.
Yeah. I do like that he has, they've kept with the third nipple thing.
Yeah.
Like, because human form still has a third nipple. I like that. I mean, it was silly, but sure.
I mean, why not?
So I don't know. It's like I'd have to go back and watch the previous season to figure out if the robot Bishop makes any sense whatsoever. It doesn't seem like it would make any sense whatsoever.
Well, I mean, is it?
Because
he gets
cloned over and over again.
Well, but
right?
See, I think that,
and then 3D printing himself.
But I think it's not
point.
That's not our timeline, essentially. Like, robot Bishop will now go forward and be in the timeline, but
So it'll be a different timeline than what they experienced.
I think in theory, although it will have to at least look like the timeline that we saw, I think is the feeling. But it's a little tiny
wimey. And again.
Don't think too hard about it.
Right. Yeah.
I did enjoy it a lot.
The real Sarah is actually dead. So
I will say my funniest catch in this episode is the cloning robot machine is powered by an iMac, which they don't even bother making it look
weird
too different.
Because like in one couple shots, there's like metal tape over the Apple logo. And then in another shot, it looks like they CGI'd it or something like that. So it's smooth.
But it has all the ports on the back, which is hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's clearly yeah, an iMac.
Yeah, there's one shot where it's like, the logo. It's clearly, they're showing you the back of the computer, right?
It was very funny to me.
Yeah. I think the camera's basically static there, too, so maybe they just painted it out.
I don't know.
Like,
it does, you know, again.
Takes fine for, like, something in the background, but, like, it's going to look pretty janky. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Who cares?
So, most of this episode is pretty character-driven, right? Like, aside from the Bishop and Ava stuff, which sort of, as you said, Guy, like, fills in all the blanks for what has happened, which I enjoyed as they keep being like, we've solved the problem.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah. They blew up the second Hoover robot? Which was kind of funny.
They keep trying to sit down to have dinner. And
keep getting told it's not, you have more problems to clean up.
I do kind of like that it happens in a short period of time for them. Like,
right.
Of course, it makes sense. Like, they just can't get a break. Like, every time they do something, they're like, oh, crying.
A lot of the rest of it is the character moments we discussed, Gary and Gideon. We had Nate and Zari working their stuff out. I enjoyed Nate sort of doing the backseat captain thing where he's like, let's just sort of maneuver everybody into going to get things while Ava and Sarah just need to, like, de-stress a bit.
It doesn't seem like things are run that tightly on the they're not on the ship right now, but in the group anyway, so it makes sense.
Yeah, that's some good Commander Rikering there, you know? Yeah.
Like, right.
Okay, you're clearly having a moment. I'm going to go make sure that, you know, nothing too crazy happens. Do you want to rate this? I don't know what else to say about it. It's pretty fun.
The one other thing I was going to call out is they pull a Loki toward the end. Like,
they do, very much.
Yeah, going to disguising.
Oh, right.
By, you know, like, being in a place where
everyone's going to die. Right. Yeah. I thought that was cute. Yeah.
I am curious if, like, that's an intentional nod. I mean, because it could have been.
I think it's. Right? I think, like, it probably was. Yeah, I think they probably wrote it about the time they were. I mean, sure, they watched. You know, the people who wrote.
Yeah, of course.
The show. I'm sure watch the other stuff. So
yeah, and it's not like the Legends crew are going to be.
And it's fine.
Shy about ripping something off, like, that's,
yeah,
it's, yeah, yeah. Not in a, you know, not in a bad way. It's like an homage, you know, like, for sure.
I mean, and to a certain degree, I feel like some of this borrows from the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
A little, like, bit going back in time and, you know, having to live through certain points in time. And like, wasn't there a, no, I'm thinking of this show again. There was a time they went to Cuba, right? Yeah.
That was this show.
That was this show. Yeah.
Sometimes I get them mixed up. But, you
know. Bayrod had a sort of out of character moment explaining history. Like, suddenly he's like Doctor Who's them all up with, like, what the story is with Chernobyl, and
he watched the miniseries. Was the thing.
I guess he did. Yeah,
that's probably. I think that's probably watched it high too.
That's right. It's the best way to watch that. Clearly,
that's definitely one that you want to watch when you baked, for sure. Man, look at that elephant's foot! Oh my god.
I will say I thought Matt Ryan's Russian accent not bad. Amused that he immediately, having just had nuclear fission explained to him, does know the Russian word for meltdown. And he's doing it made me laugh because I was like, wait, he knows 1925 Russian, not 1986 Russian, please. Not bad.
They tell him fission too, and he suddenly got it all figured out. Like,
he's a scientist. 20 years
well,
theory.
A scientist. Yeah.
Theories.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Right.
Did they know in 1916 about, I don't know.
I think I guess they theorized did. About
well,
it.
He did. He's actually, he's from the 20s.
25. Right? 25.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, he definitely would have had a.
And I will say,
at least
I mean,
the concept of it. That's all.
Matt Ryan's credit, like, I think that this character already is so distinct from John Constantine that I've already forgotten it's the same person, basically.
Yeah. I think the beard and everything works pretty well. I mean, he doesn't look much, you know, you can tell that
I can
him,
hear it in the voice sometimes that, like, twigs me, but rarely. Yeah. Like, most of the time, I'm just like, yep, I'm on board, different character. That's
right.
Fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I assume that there's no other shoe to drop here. Like, there's no, like,
I doubt it.
I mean, we were talking about that, I think, last time.
Last week,
whether he's, like, Constantine's grandfather or something.
I kind of like that idea, in that, like, his granddad is a man of science, and he's as far away from that as you can get. Sort of.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fine, too, but I don't need it either.
No, I don't need it, and it would be fine. That's it. It's not like, oh, that's a great idea, and we can run with that. Whatever.
unless there's anything else we want to talk about, we can do our rating.
Sure.
Guy?
Throw me under the bus.
Throw you under the time machine.
I thought it was okay. Honestly, I'm going to give it to John Jr. Higher end kind of John Jr. I just wasn't as jazzed about it as I thought I could be. It was fun. It was interesting. I guess, between Chernobyl and World War One, post-traumatic stress, it's a bit of a downer. I'm happy for Gideon and Gary. That seems fun. The Nate thing got resolved, or the Nate and Zari thing sort of got resolved in a fine way. I don't know. I'm like hovering around the edge, but I'm just going to go with the John Jr. just because it's unused, then we should expand our
just like John Jr.
Yeah, exactly. So John Jr., I'm not offended by it. It's fine. I just wasn't thrilled either. And I kind of want to know, like, where are we going now? Like, I really thought that at the end of last episode, we've all got the gang together, that we're going to teleport away, and then climax, you know, or anti-penultimate, whatever the heck Dan wants to call it. And we didn't kind of get that. We got, like, another stalled in the mud episode. So, I guess that's it.
John?
I'm going to give it a light biff, I guess. It's not an amazing episode, certainly, but I thought it was fun enough. I liked, you know, pop culture references. I liked the jokes, and I liked the character moments well enough to, I think, just push it over the edge for me. I guess I wasn't going and expecting much. I was watching it late last night and right before bed, and I was like, that was, you know, it was enjoyable. And then I got to sleep. So
win-win.
Yeah.
TV reviews from people who are just too tired to give a damn.
Exactly. I think that was part of what it was, though.
Yeah. I watched it. It was fine. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Not bad.
All in all, a decent experience.
Yeah. 2.5 stars. No, I'm with John on this one. I'll give it a light biff, but like the Biff Jr. territory. I think that's fair. It's right on the line. I'm with you, Guy. I understand everything you're saying, and I don't disagree with any of it. I think it's not an episode that moves the needle particularly forward. We are literally stuck in a place and have to get out. The Chernobyl thing is amusing. It's also introduced very late in the episode. Like there's literally like half an hour.
Was Chernobyl
of this
in a rainforest?
Yeah, it's not the didn't feel like the exact same forest we've seen a million times in Vancouver. It felt like the foliage was slightly different. I did have that moment of there's one scene where they're doing something and like a bunch of birds flap away, and I was like, well, that should be your first clue. This isn't the prehistoric era, like, because if there's dinosaurs, there probably aren't that many birds.
Yeah,
that did not make any sense to me. The confusion about that. Did not make sense.
They're just not that smart.
Like everything is different. Well, also they've got Gideon with them, right?
Yeah, like, Gideon does seem like they should be able to figure out, like, well, these trees did not exist in prehistoric eras.
Yeah, like I feel like we would. Okay, this is so dumb. But if we found ourselves transported back in time, I'm pretty sure we'd be able to distinguish if it was dinosaur times or not. Just
by whether
everything's going to look different, like the air is going to be different. Like everything's going to be different, you know.
Was there grass? Can't remember when grass was like
grass is pretty recent.
Yeah, grass is actually quite recent. Yeah,
yeah. Like you'd get like a lot of fern. Anyway, whatever. I've watched a lot of dinosaur stuff on YouTube recently. Yeah.
There's also several bits in this episode where they're like, "What is that sound?" Like two or three times, and I keep being like, "Well, I know what the sound is. I mean, come on, guys." Like. That's your spaceship, or that's a car. Like, they were just a little. I mean, it's a little explication-y, but yeah, it's fine. Like, it's fine. It's just a little.
I don't mind it so much, especially like this kind of show where if you need to write your characters to be dummies, fine. You know, like Legends. I don't really care about it if they allied some sort of logic that anybody else would have figured out. I would have been upset with it on Arrow. Obviously not the time travel trope, but like if somebody was acting that boneheaded about something, it should be pretty obvious. I'd be annoyed, but whatever. If they use this as
on
like
Arrow, they're boneheaded about keeping secrets.
Yeah, everyone's got their weak spot. Yeah. Anyway, this is the second to last episode before the break. Yeah, I didn't say
what is it?
It's penultimate. What is it really? It's penultimate.
Is there another word for that?
It's penultimate. There's one more episode next week before they are off until January, so we'll be back next week, of course, to cover that one, which is entitled "A Woman's Place is in the War Effort." 1940s, I guess, maybe?
I guess, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, it sounds like. So maybe they'll accidentally kill Rosie the Riveter and they'll have to be a robot.
No, that's too dark.
Stop, no.
Yeah, it's way too dark.
All right, we're going to move on and jump into our superhero sweep segment because there's a lot of stuff to talk about on Superhero Sweep this week. Do you want to start off talking about the Disney Plus series or about the Spider-Man trailer? Those are your options.
John, you pick.
Disney Plus series.
Okay. So we got sizzle reel of the various Disney Plus series that are airing within the next year-ish.
So this is, you can watch this on Disney Plus.
Yes.
And it's like 14 minutes long and it starts off with a lot of recap.
Skip
of
the first 10 minutes. It's fine.
The shows that have aired already.
You can skip the first 10.
I watched it. I
you can.
It.
So did I. Fun. But you can skip it. And then we got an extended clip from Hawkeye, which involved a car chase, which is shot quite well, I thought. I really enjoyed the cinematography in that.
There's one long shot.
Yes.
That's particularly good.
Yeah. Really looking forward to that, which starts next week, which we will be covering here because that's what we do.
One way or the other.
One way or the other.
Next week is also...
It's also Thanksgiving in the U.S. Our show may be delayed next week.
Yes.
But rest assured...
And I'm
going to
be traveling too, so it may be difficult. Anyway,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And so that's coming up really quick, followed by... What was next on the list? Was it She-Hulk?
I think so.
So we saw a couple of shots.
Or Ms. Marvel.
I think it was before... I think Ms. Marvel was toward the end.
Okay.
Actually, which is interesting because I thought that one had been shot much more like in advance, but it sounds like that one I think is coming later. There weren't dates with most of these things, I think. I mean, other than 2022. Because originally Ms. Marvel, there was a point where it was supposed to air late 2021, and obviously that didn't happen. So, but we saw, we got a clip of She-Hulk with Tatiana Maslany, who is probably best known as the lead characters on Orphan Black, but who I recently saw in the Perry Mason reboot on HBO, in which she's very good, playing Jennifer Walters, and Mark Ruffalo playing the Hulk in an interesting little tidbit. My understanding...
Well, playing Bruce Banner.
Playing Bruce Banner and playing, but he's Hulk at one point too.
Hulk?
He's Smart Hulk. Remember.
But it's interesting that he is Banner too. Like, well, I guess he was at the end of Shang-Chi as well.
Well, that's the spoilers for the end of Shang-Chi. Oh, but
well, it's out now. I mean,
that's fair.
Get on that.
It is an interesting question. We don't know what the timeline is of these various things. We don't know when they fall. Right? Like, we know.
Yeah, because in his Hulky form, he's not in a sling.
I thought he was in the trailer. I'm going to have to look at the trailer again. I have a...
No, like when he's in the Gamma Lab, she's there and he doesn't have a sling on.
Gotcha. I did not...
So it could be before.
Yeah, I don't know if that... Yeah.
Yeah, right, it could be before or it could be after. Also, he's the Hulk. Like his whole thing is that he gets better when he gets beaten up, right? So, I mean, I don't know how long they're going to keep him with a sling on.
It does seem like that's very un-Hulky, but maybe it's the downside of being the sort of merged Hulk or...
I guess, yeah. I don't know. Like, I was surprised when he still had the sling at the end of Endgame on the funeral.
Yeah, that's fair.
Although it's kind of cool. It's like, wow, that really did mess him up.
Right, I think that's the
point.
Yeah, I'm now panning through it. You're right that he is not wearing the sling when he is in Hulk form. And then we get that super weird, like, 70s, 80s shot of the two of them.
Yeah. Bill Bixby style.
Yeah, I can't tell if that's... like, is that like a dream sequence slash like cutaway or what, or a commercial? It's very strange.
Right, it seems like it's an ad for her law firm or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. Yeah, like an ambulance chasing sort of ad.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
But why is he?
Or like public defender?
I don't know why he's in it. Maybe yeah. she got, you know, I don't know. Maybe she got him pardoned by the government. I don't know. Is he in any kind of legal trouble?
Yeah, I think he's fine.
I don't know. I like the line too. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Is like, it sounds like a line, if it hadn't been so associated with the Hulk, that could be the line of like a political ad about somebody who's going to go to Washington and, you know, like we do it all, like flip the tables and like, yeah, right, you wouldn't like right. me when I'm angry, and I'm steaming angry about minimum wage, whatever the heck, you know, like it's got that
Guy,
kind of vibe.
Guy, you
consider
running for Congress or?
I guess no. I can. Yeah.
Well,
so
maybe.
yes, definitely.
Remember.
I want
to. Okay. Yeah. You heard it.
Americans love me. They definitely want me to.
Yeah, my vote, Guy.
That's your. That should be your motto, really. Americans
yeah.
love me.
Americans love me. Yeah.
We get a
or,
we have
or
a,
I have Maltz's vote.
I have Maltz's.
Also an option. We
that
do
would
have...
actually make me feel good. I would feel accomplished that way.
We do.
What
have,
else do we have to?
We do have.
What?
Oh my God!
Who?
What? What? Who? There's
What's
a,
the penultimate.
There's
thing
a tease.
It's the anti penultimate thing that he's trying to say.
I quit. That's what I was going to say.
We have one joke, and we're going to work it.
Yeah, it's yeah. Kill it till it's dead. There's a tease shot of her in like the, you know, hulked out basically, but it's only basic, you know, like
yeah.
Yeah. Torso
but in
down,
in a fairly faithful to the comic book,
the sort of leotard
exercise, yeah, like
yeah,
exercise wear,
yeah, and she's clearly cognizant or mentally integrated, I guess,
yeah,
because like we see her yeah. getting out of a car at one point,
which is usually
in a gown
thing.
Yes, yeah, She-Hulk's thing is that she's got her marbles right. about her, yeah,
right, right, yeah, so. She basically either benefits from what Bruce has learned or has a better way of doing it. It's unclear, but you know, we'll learn. And
I mean, the comics and that Ang Lee movie get into like how angsty and that it's kind of annoying. Like Bruce's Hulk persona is driven a lot by like, again, PTSD stuff and, you know, various things. But Jennifer doesn't have that. Like, she's just kind of a normal person. So she's... I think that the notion is that she can just handle it better without going, turning into like a rage monster kind of thing.
And I think the show is, been theorized to be a little bit more of a, like have a stronger comedy angle to it as well, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. Or at least as what I had heard, that it might be more structured as like half hour, somewhat comedy, you know, forward, which
the,
could
be the title treatment, the title card makes it look like an Adam McBeal-ish,
like a law drama. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
that was a good run. There was a run of that of her comic book a few years ago, not that long ago. But I'm trying to remember who. Oh, I think maybe Jessica Jones was like her PI. And
yeah, I kind of remember
there was somebody
that.
Else
was
involved
it
in that too.
Hellcat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's yeah. what I was thinking of. Yeah, yeah. Hellcat.
I think it's actually the Hellcat run by Kate Leth, in which she...
Oh, in which she appears. Maybe
she
I
appears as a character,
because
Patsy works for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a good run. Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting. So we do also know, this was announced ahead of time, but like Tim Roth will be reprising his role as the Abomination, which, again, spoilers for Shang-Chi, the Abomination appears in there and is apparently...
Was
buddy
that
buddy
Tim
with,
Roth, though?
In Shang-Chi.
In Shang-Chi.
Definitely the Abomination. I mean,
it's the Abomination. Yeah, I don't think he
oh, yeah.
does any of the voice work or anything.
I know, because I'm like, I don't think he said anything.
And I don't think he's credited, yeah.
I'm not sure if he's credited or not, but the...
He's like more hulky than he was in the movie. Like in the movie, he was... he could speak, for sure. Hulk,
yes.
Hulk, like Hulk was the dumb one, and Abomination right. had like more... Like he had his wits
a lot
about
more,
a
but
more.
A little, you know, toward the end, he was pretty,
yeah,
yeah. It says it says uncredited.
But yeah, but I mean that.
I
so
know.
For Mark Ruffalo is also yeah. listed as uncredited. So it's I think he probably is nominally, you know, whether he was just doing some motion capture or did a voice line or grunt or something,
right?
but you know, they I think he's technically included there. I think that's an interesting move, since like that's a character we haven't seen since a movie in which the Hulk was played by a different actor entirely.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah,
always interesting.
I'm sure it's come up before. I'm a mild defender of that movie. I think it's okay. It's pretty good.
Wow, that's pretty mild. Is that really even a defender at that point?
Well, I guess so.
Listen,
yeah, that's damning.
Back off, man. That movie is, yeah, it's fine. Whoa. It's okay.
Stop coming in with those hot takes.
It's definitely damning with faint praise, that's for sure. It's the second one they did, and it's got the hallmarks of what makes a Marvel movie. They hadn't
quite nailed it.
Landing it, no, quite yet.
They also, yeah, that was back when they still had like a, I think it was distribution deal with Paramount.
Oh,
no, Universal. Sorry. Universal. Yeah, yeah, that's the weird ones where they I think that one and maybe Iron Man 2 like kind of has like a Universal.
I don't think so. I don't think Iron Man was ever farmed out.
Okay. I thought there was some, I thought they
I don't
had,
think so. I mean, unless there was some reason why, you know, another character in there needed to be.
No, they were, sorry, they were Paramount. Iron Man 2 was distributed by Paramount. So it does have a Paramount connection.
Yeah, John, it's not like the Sony deal. It's just the distribution deal. This is before Marvel.
Okay, so it's just, okay.
Before they
Marvel,
got.
Marvel like took their money and then powered up to doing their own distribution. But before that, they were partnering.
Right, and before they did, and before they were owned by Disney.
But I think
too.
Universal owned.
Universal did own the Hulk, yes.
Yeah.
I think that has now basically,
yeah, I think they've
reverted.
It's also one of those things
strange.
That is crazily complicated.
Yeah, it's not as annoying as the whole Sony Spider-Man thing, but it is part of that same era where Marvel was trying to sell off all its properties basically any which way it could.
Yeah,
we just accidentally stumble into a segue? Oh no, we didn't, because we haven't finished.
Okay. We also have Moon Knight trailer with Oscar Isaac seen for the first time, and very little else of him. We see like a couple shots of him. There's one where like Moon Knight's beating the crap out of some guy in a bathroom. There's one where he like jumps across a roof. And then later on, there's like in that there's kind of like a montage and they show him like kind of like not waking up, but like becoming conscious, like standing around a bunch of guys who are beat up. So clearly leaning very heavily into the this is a person with some some issues, some mental health issues that we're going to discuss.
So we've seen Batman beat on thugs a lot in these most recent trailers. For some reason, Moon Knight doing it read differently to me, just the way it was shot. Like, he was clearly, he's shot from behind. It's like it's not a very cinematic kind of thing. It looks like a crazy person beating on somebody rather than, I think the Batman ones are trying to aggrandize it or try to make it feel
he looks
cool.
He looks more aghast brutal at what he's done.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's A, more brutal, but B, feels more thoughtful. Like, it feels like,
I think that's interesting. It, just to compare it to what we just talked about with She-Hulk, I think what's interesting about this is this may be, potentially, depending on how they handle it, one of the more serious shows in the MCU. And that sort of, I think it's interesting to have a world where they've decided clearly, look, we can do shows that are more comedic and we can do shows that are more serious. And I have no doubt that there will be elements of humor in it, because I don't think Marvel has really tried to make anything that was just sort of dead on serious. I think that would be a hard sell in the MCU, just because that's a trademark of the MCU, right? Is that there is humor in it. It's one of the things that differentiates.
Going back to that thing, I was going as like saying about the Hulk movie. He gets out of a cab, and he's like, I'm avoiding stress kind of thing. And it turns out that Betty's the one all stressed out, and like there's like a little comedy bit in it. It's a goofy little bit, but it's like that. Those little moments are kind of part of the MCU formula. Regardless of genre.
Well, and he does his big hero move, which he duplicates later in Thor Ragnarok, where he falls out. He's supposedly cured of the Hulk, and he falls out of the helicopter to activate the Hulk, and he doesn't activate, and he's like, oh shit, as he's falling to the ground.
Yeah, so I don't, I'm curious to see where they're going to go with that, because this is the one case where I feel like, you know, I was watching this with my, I watched the trailers with my wife, and like her thing is she just really enjoys the more light-hearted aspects of the MCU, and if anything is too serious, sure, she really does not like DC movies and is like really generally against the... Yeah. So I'm curious to know whether she'll be into this or not. I think Oscar Isaac being into it is a great selling point.
Well, sure.
But
man, he's a gorgeous man. Have you seen we seen Dune yet? Because
oh yeah,
have you seen pictures of Oscar Isaac?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at my desktop wallpaper every day.
Yeah, even just his name written down sends shivers up and down my spine. Like, gorgeous man.
But I'm just curious to know how dark they're gonna play it, right? Because it is a, it feels like a much more serious, like, quote, you know, capital letter issues, like, story, right? In terms of dealing with mental health, because I think you don't want to play that as too flip, like, right? The idea of dissociative identity disorder was, you know, like, multiple personalities, quote unquote, was kind of a shtick, I think, back in the earliest days, but you don't want to give it sort of that lip service in when it's such a fundamental part of this character, and it is something that, you know, is a real thing that people suffer from. And
what do
so,
you think? Do you think he's actually a superhero, or do you think he's just bananas? For I know you were just very gentle about
I used the word
bananas. Like, is he cuckoo or not?
Is he cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or
right?
I'm glad we're very sensitive about these issues on this show. I really
I'm a big supporter of mental health, like I am of the Hulk movie. I think it's fine.
That's not a big supporter, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, along that vein, Dan, do you think that is this somebody who believes he's a superhero doing superhero stuff in a world full of superheroes, and he's really, really broken? Will they hew a little bit more to the comics, where he's clearly, you know, he does accomplish things, he's an actual hero?
I think they will make it him actually. I think they're going to talk about sort of the idea of somebody who does have that superheroism within him, but is also struggling with things in the same way that we just talked about with the Hulk being, you know, at times rooted in PTSD and stuff like that, and trauma.
Yeah.
I think they're going to probably push a little harder on that here. It also just looks from the shooting and everything that it's much more, I don't even know what to say, not just much darker, but like, because both in like sort of the palette that we see and also just the way that they're shooting it, right? Like that first scene, which is a really kind of cool shot where he's walking through the museum and he looks at his reflection and he walks on and then the reflection is still standing there looking at him is creepy. And I think the other struggle with this is dealing with the whole, like, you know, having the sort of, for those who are not familiar with Moon Knight as a character, he has this sort of bond with an Egyptian god, which again, in the era in which that was created, felt much more like, let's just take stuff from other cultures and tell stories about appropriating that into our own culture.
Yeah, they went to the British Museum on that.
Yeah, you got to tread very carefully with that. So, and I'm sure they are aware of that. I'm sure they are thinking about it. And I trust them to have done, you know, sort of the work in order to do that. It's just a question of how successful they'll be at it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's one that I'm looking forward to. I do love that character. I enjoy some of the more recent. There's some really good runs within the last 5 or 6 years dealing with Moon Knight. Yeah. And they're going that way and apparently not leaning into the... I always enjoy the tweets with the fake Moon Knight panels where he's like demanding his money from Dracula and stuff.
Yeah.
Very weird. He's a weird character. but yeah,
should be fun. I also have a certain amount of, I've got to trust in the MCU people, obviously.
Sure.
Just cause you know, great track record, but I gotta, you know, I trust Oscar Isaac too. I mean, besides just being gorgeous, I don't think he necessarily would have just taken on a superhero thing just cause he can take on a superhero thing. Right.
Like, he seems like in a position to be able to.
Yeah.
You know,
I would guess.
That.
I mean, I'm sure if he's
meat there,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's like, I want to be Cyclops, they're like, sure, you can be Cyclops, whatever. So he Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure he could ask
to be Cyclops, but okay.
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, do you want to be Wolverine? Whatever. Sure, you're awesome. Like, whatever it is you want, you could work out. But the fact that
Wolverine just gets more handsome every iteration.
That's yeah. It's like me.
Oh yeah.
I will say.
It reminded me of something.
I will say that although the head writer on Moon Knight is Jeremy Slater, who was a co-screenplay writer on the 2015 Fantastic Four movie. I'm not going to chalk anything up to that. Like, you know, there were three people as screenwriters on that movie, right? It's hard to say.
Right. Yeah. And you know that's, who knows if they were working at the same time or trying to patch up each other's stuff, followed by a bunch of notes.
He reportedly said that a lot of what he wrote was not in the finished film. So, you know, who knows?
I would say that too.
Yep. But I will add that the head of the directing team, who I think is only directing two of the episodes, but who is credited as basically the head of the directing teams, is an Egyptian filmmaker named Mohamed Diab. So, you know, they are at least...
Yeah,
you know, cognizant of the fact that we can't tell this story without having some people from that background in the creative process.
I didn't know that. That's great. Yeah, at least as a okay. Wait a second. This is actually offensive. Kind of like last minute break of like you can turn in these pages, but I'm not going to film them because like this is not this is not cool kind of thing. That's
this other guy. Good. If you look at the Doug Mensch, is that his name? Scrolling. So I got it. Yeah. He has worked on Harley Quinn and Young Justice, which you guys like quite a bit.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Most of his stuff is
he's a comic book. He's a comic book writer. I think it's implying. It's based on his run potentially,
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
It does say. Well, it says. Yeah, characters, creator. Okay.
Yeah, it's
he's probably not.
Not directly involved in the writing, but maybe who knows? They also apparently filmed in both Budapest and in Jordan, which is cool. So fun stuff there.
That's cool.
All right.
Wow. Wow. Imagine going all the way.
So the other guy that you're tarring with Fantastic Four.
Well, I didn't tar him with it. Umbrella, it's his credit.
Also did Umbrella Academy, which apparently was pretty good, right?
Oh yeah, I enjoyed Umbrella Academy.
We talked about watching it. I never actually got through the first episode,
there you go.
People say it's good.
I don't blame you.
Well, it's characters I didn't know, a comic book I didn't read, and so I wasn't very primed to accept it. But it actually seems like some of that might work well here.
Yeah, it's a bit of investment. You got to stick with it. It's worth watching, I think. Yeah. I haven't advocated us covering it, so I guess that tells you all you need to know about that one.
And on the downside, again, the other thing that he's working on is a movie called Wile E. Coyote.
I think it was I saw Coyote versus Acme was the title that
I
saw.
Story set in the Acme warehouse, the manufacturer, anything and everything used by the...
You know what? You got to work, guys, okay?
Could be good.
He's co-writing it with James Gunn, so take away from that what you will.
Oh, is okay, right.
See, I've already turned John around on this.
This has been a real roller coaster.
Yeah, it's going to the Coyote is going to be played by James Gunn's brother.
Of course he is.
That works. That really works.
It does work. Sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm just calling it.
He looks very Coyote like.
Especially in Suicide Squad there. He's playing Weasel.
We've also got as mentioned Ms. Marvel, which I think there's more footage from than any of the other ones, which is why it surprised me that one is, it says streaming soon, but I think that's what they credit for all of them. The Ms. Marvel one, it looks great. I'm a big fan of the character and the run in the comics. The biggest question that's sort of been flying around out there is whether they're going to change her power set. Yeah. There's been some rumors that her power set is changing in the comics. She is not a Mr. Fantastic style one, but she is able to change sort of the size of her body in various ways, like make her fists really big.
She can grow and shrink, but also can do it independently.
Right. Certain parts of her.
She can grow a giant fist.
Yeah. Which they
and
did.
I love the explanation of that is that she is borrowing her mass through different periods of time.
Yeah, so, and there's
so,
also
so it has to even out.
And thematically, I think they talk a little bit too about like sort of image issues being a big part of her in terms of like how she sees herself and how she, you know, relates to like in the comics. There's a significant portion where when she first discovers her powers, she kind of morphs into the then current the older version of Ms. Marvel, briefly, because she idolizes her in this already. There's like a bunch of stuff where she's wearing
the Carol Danvers. Yeah.
Yes. She turns into the pre Captain Marvel version of Carol Danvers in the comics. But in this version, she's clearly a Captain Marvel fan, which I really enjoy. I love the costume. I think it looks fantastic. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I like that character a lot. So I hope they do well by her because there's a lot going on there.
It seems like it's a very beloved character, and particularly with I think younger comic book readers, I would imagine, I would imagine that they are very cognizant of the fact that they do not want to screw this up.
So I mean, they don't probably
piss off the people who are going to be their fans for, you know, another 50 years.
Right. She feels like the next Peter Parker style hit, right, for the company.
There are very few other Marvel Comics characters who have been invented in the last, in the 21st century, really, that have reached the level of popularity of the older Marvel Comics characters. I think she's the main one, like, because
Miles Morales, maybe.
Miles Morales is a good call.
Miles Morales is up there, that's for sure.
Yeah, but like, there aren't that many of them, right? A lot of what we've and certainly in the MCU, almost every headlining character has been a character for decades, right? Like with the possible exception of the Captain Marvel version, you know, is obviously a more recent version of that character than the classic Ms. Marvel, but still, that, you know, Carol Danvers has been around for a super long time, so and I agree with you, John, like you said, she's a beloved version of this character. So I, you know, there will be a lot of very upset people if they botch that portrayal.
Yeah.
And of course, she, the actor whose name is Iman Vellani, is also scheduled to be in the Marvels, the follow up to the Captain Marvel movie. So a lot of that going out.
Wait, the Marvels is a movie?
Yes.
Yeah, so the Captain Marvel 2 is called the Marvels, and will feature Carol and calling her
Protein. Kamala and I've lost her name.
Monica Rambeau.
Thank you. I kept thinking of her mom.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. For some reason, I thought Marvels was a show.
Nope.
I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah, no.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's
around.
A lot of stuff.
Speaking there really which, is.
We'll do some quick hits on the. They also teased season two of What If, season two of Loki. Echo was officially announced, I think, right? Which is a spinoff from a Hawkeye, which we haven't entirely seen yet, but it features the sort of first deaf superhero who will be appearing there. The Guardians of the Galaxy special, an animated I Am Groot show, an animated Spider-Man show, which I'm very curious about because I'm wondering, like, does Tom Holland have any involvement with that? Is that how related is that? Is that canonical? And the previous mentioned Ironheart, Secret Invasion, and Armor Wars.
There's a quick shot of
Nick Fury with a beard. Marvel Zombies spinoff, which...
What do you think about Zombies? I don't care.
It's not my most excited thing. I mean,
I'll
check it out, but...
Well,
I don't.
Wait, John, I mean, we're gonna... we're eating at the buffet here. We're gonna get a little bit of everything, for sure. But,
and the Agatha series, basically...
House of Harkness.
I mean... that seems to me a show completely born of how much that character was a breakout character from WandaVision.
Yeah.
Smart
That's
move.
Like, Catherine Hahn plays a witch? let's just take that to the bank.
Just print printing money.
Yeah. I love it. It's great. I like the logo treatment, which is, I think, how we saw that show. And I'm like, I love it. I dig it.
I'm here for it. Done.
I like that the title is kind of a pun. It's just, it's great. Exactly. It's fun. You already know it's going to be silly fun and kind of trippy and cool at the same time. So.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, I have to say. A lot is happening basically in the next year or so. So yeah. I guess get ready to be very busy.
Do you guys think it's too much? Like, is it like at some point you're stretching stuff? Like,
but I mean,
well, most at what of point shows... at what point do you start kicking out like Quadra 9600s kind of thing? You know,
or mention
or Star Trek Enterprise. Like when do you stretch a good thing a little bit too far? You know,
forgot to mention in there also X-Men 97, which is the weirdest announcement there. From the I don't know, funny, I don't know what you guys I assume I watched that a bunch. That was like my first one of my first entrees into the
graduate
school.
That
I was
too
old for
that. Graduate school.
That is literally what got me into X-Men and thus comics. Like that, and that series is incredibly beloved by the people who grew up sort of in my era.
Apparently, yeah. At some point, I checked it out when Hank was about that age, I was looking for stuff for us to watch, and I was thinking, oh, what about this X-Men show? And it was a lot of shooting lasers at each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But it also does. That impressed. It's one of the few animated shows in that era that has like ongoing plots. Like they actually. Yeah. Go, you know, week to week, essentially, rather than having like little episodes. Yeah. It actually had plots that went on, and it dealt with like a whole bunch of interesting characters. I mean, Bishop, that's how I knew who Bishop, the mutant Marvel mutant character is.
Not the Legends of Tomorrow.
Bishop. Not the Legends of Tomorrow version.
I would be very surprised.
A lot in there. Anyways, I have no idea whether that means it picks up after the existing show in that chronology, but I'm here for at least checking it out. Like I said, there's a lot of people who are going to be super into that.
The thing is like, is that cool or not? Like that. What are they going to do? Recreate the animation style, like the storytelling style? Like
quite
it's
possibly.
Like a long time,
it's a throwback.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's, but it's I mean, like, you know, maybe make it a little bit better. But,
I love Batman the Animated Series. Do we want that again?
Well, they are doing that again, guy. Do you not remember they announced that they're doing that? Like,
yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. Is like, do we really need, can we do something new? Maybe? I don't know.
Not when it comes to like making money off our IP, apparently. Money.
Exactly. Yeah, really. Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
They did say,
I think it's a fine way to start with the X-Men, you know, for Marvel and Disney.
Yeah. Dip the toe into the water.
Get back into the swing of,
a lot of the,
because it's going to be another 4 years at least until we get an X-Men movie.
Is that probably a fact or is that like,
well,
a, just
looking
based
at this,
on
I'm looking at this mcuschedule.com, which is, you know, like the easiest
authoritative
way to
you know, authoritative,
it's
sure
not, it's not, but they pay attention to it, and so they just have like, you know, they have it marked in 2025. It's, and none of these things are obviously set in stone. Even the stuff that have actual dates are not set in stone. It says it says TBD as well, so
right. I mean, like
they're not saying that it's definitely gonna happen then, but
eventually it will happen because they own the rights, and why not? But like, we have that Fantastic Four movie on the horizon, which is probably the furthest out property that we actually know about. And that's still a couple years away.
Is that on the books, or is that like we will be doing something with the Fantastic Four? Or is it like we're going to make a movie and it's going to be?
It's going to be a movie with, it's got John Watts who does
John
the
Watts
Spider-Man,
yeah.
The recent
Spider-Man
ones,
which I think is a
it.
Great choice for that.
Which makes me wonder, though. I don't know enough about. Okay, we've basically expended all our time on this. I don't know how much longer we want to go on this, but
we haven't even talked about the trailer.
Yeah, the speaking of Spider-Man, like it makes me wonder whether or not this episode or this upcoming movie is intended to be sort of a capper to a trilogy.
I saw something you know, like where it was a comic book resource thing that blurb that said Tom Holland talks about, you know, says something about saying maybe Miles Morales is the next thing that they should do with Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that's
so. I think it does probably, this movie probably puts some sort of a little bit of a coda. I don't think he dies, but it must be like there's our three. That's our
right. And maybe we're
trilogy.
He shows up in an Avengers movie or something, not
like, I don't think he's done, but you know, if he's gonna die, he's gonna die in like Miles Morales, Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily kill him off. That seems pretty. you know, again, you want,
it depends on when they do it, I guess.
Yeah. But you also, you're Tom Holland and you're in your 20s. You probably don't want to play Spider-Man for the rest of your life.
Right.
Necessarily. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Or at least
it's a shame
have
he's not getting
thing.
Any other work.
Yes. Right. He's very unemployable. Yeah.
Yeah. He delivered an umbrella to me. You would not believe it.
And with style, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Like a yeah. lot of style. Yeah.
You got to watch that every time it comes through your feed. You get every
yeah,
time rules.
I don't.
It's very good.
That's it's a dumb amazing. Internet rule. Yeah. But it is good. I do watch it more often than
so
I
do
should.
I. So do I.
Which is like more than once, probably.
It's like looking at Oscar Isaac's picture.
Yes. Oh my God, he's so dreamy.
speaking of Spider-Man, we'll take a few minutes to discuss the trailer, which I think was interesting in that it felt very much like a build on the last trailer, but also definitely skirted around a bunch of stuff that people are anticipating.
Yeah. Well, they got to save a little bit of.
Yeah.
I assume that there are some things that are going to drop. I mean, you saw, obviously we know that Alfred Molina's in it.
Yep.
I think you could hear.
Willem Dafoe.
You
for
can
sure.
You can hear
his
voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
And you see him. You see the Green Goblin.
Whether or not his face appears. Whether or not his face
appears.
Yes.
But you saw his version of the Green Goblin and also another version of the Green Goblin or someone else on a glider.
Yeah, like a real quick flying at the camera.
It's someone
shot.
Wearing more like a hood and rather than a like the goblin like helmet or something.
I love Willem Dafoe. Like, I don't know, he's amazing. The fact that they had him, there's a scene on a rooftop in that first Spider-Man movie where Willem Dafoe is like just in that plastic mask.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, please, just let me see his face. Please, please, please. Come on.
We were
like, it's
doing
an actual
that
good
at that time.
It's a good scene, but come on. Yeah. So I was a little disheartened to see the old costume show up, but kind of liked it at the same time.
I mean, I think they're clearly going for the retro vibe. The other one was that Jamie Foxx, there is a brief shot of Jamie Foxx as Electro and not as the Amazing Spider-Man 2 Electro where he's...
No, he looks cool. Yeah.
He looks like the comic book version.
He looks like the comic book with like a face mask with lightning bolts coming off it, which I love
which
the idea.
A terrible,
of somebody
a
crafting
terrible
that.
Costume, but it's great. I love it.
It's horrible. I love the idea of this guy sitting at home cutting out cardboard in the shape of lightning bolts and gluing it to his like little ski mask. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, there's also the... Yeah, so there's Sandman and...
Sandman...
crocodile
lizard?
Lizard. The lizard.
Yeah, from the
croc,
first one,
whatever, killer croc lizard. Yeah.
And also I don't know what's going on, there's a scene where he's in like the suit, there's a Spider-Man in a black suit, like, and he's got like the
he's got some spell gadget going on.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, that is very strange. It also seems to set up some sort of conflict between him and Doctor Strange,
who is being a real dick.
Yeah.
Seems like he's being a dick.
I have to say, the best scenes in that trailer for me, the ones I liked the most, are the ones with the three kids, because their dynamic is great. Like, like MJ being like, I know a few magic words too. That is hilarious.
Scolding
the scene,
Dr. Strange.
The scene with Doc Ock, where they're like, what's your name? And then they laugh
I love
about
that.
It.
Yeah,
it's good.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
It's great.
I love that somehow they've captured him in like... You know, like a Ghostbuster style restraining, whatever the heck it is, you know. Well, it's more like a, hey, John, did you notice if there was a bathroom in there?
I'm slow panning through here.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure out if there's a toilet. Yeah. There's a toilet in there. I loved it. And I love the way his little mechanical arms move with his head. I like everything about it. I'm really excited to see what they do with it. And like, part of me is a little scared that there's just going to be too much stuff going on.
I don't worry about that, I feel like
it's going to be pushed into the background a bit more than we expect.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to make a big deal. He's not going to have a long conversation with Jamie Foxx.
I feel it's structured more as cameos and small appearances than anything, right? And with probably a couple, it looks like Alfred Molina, for example, might get some more screen time.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is great because he's good.
What would you do if everything in the trailer that we saw was just part of a montage, and mostly it was Peter just talking about, I don't know, PTSD with Moon Knight?
Dark.
That was, yeah.
Well, there's a couple of interesting shots in particular. One, somebody pointed out, it's essentially like they're either rebuilding the Statue of Liberty as Cap, or they've built a Cap statue, because there's a giant shield, which is kind of weird. There's the shot that is obviously very reminiscent of Gwen Stacy's death as MJ falls off a building. I thought the implication, you know, there's a bit where Doc Ock confronts Peter and is like, "You aren't Peter Parker," which does seem to lend credence to the idea of, you know, there are maybe appearances from other Peter Parker Spider-Men in this movie.
Yeah. I like that shot with Doc Ock too, where he's got him pinned upside down, which is awesome Doc Ock versus Spider-Man kind of stuff, and his mechanical arms shooting right at him. And then for some reason, Peter's like, he retracts his mask.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird. I don't know why, but it's fascinating.
I assumed he did
take it off. It's the cloth. Oh no, it's not.
It's
cloth,
the nano one.
But it's the nano.
He does thing. Yeah,
he does. Who take knows? It off of him though.
Who knows? But
I guess you can do that.
There's Doc multiple. Is an interesting character that they're featuring a lot, which makes me think, like, is he in that cage because he surrendered at some point? Like, is there? Is he more of a?
There's also the interesting point that was it. Doctor Strange makes, or somebody else makes, where he's like, everybody, all these villains are people who died fighting Spider-Man. Yeah.
Oh no, he retracts it. I'm sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting spin on, like, why these villains, like, what's actually happening here.
Yeah, and it you know makes. I obviously like that. that problem. I like that conundrum for Peter Parker. I think that works really well. You know, I mean, and if it was a DC movie, no, he'd kill all of them.
Right. But this is the John Mulce theory of superheroing, exactly. Right? Yeah.
That's right.
Where he's screw it.
You gotta help people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Superhero is.
Got the word hero. Yeah.
Doctor Strange, I don't care. I'm gonna fight you in order to try to save these people's lives. I like that. And it sets up a good conflict between I don't know if he's by the book, but like, he's going to be a stickler about preserving time and space and continuity, I suppose.
Right,
like,
right.
But not about Peter, who's just like
keeping bad guys alive.
Right. Who just wants to not hurt anybody. This, and especially if Peter feels the responsibility that of all of his counterparts did when, you know, Green Goblin getting killed, like we have had in the next movie, the next Tobey Maguire movie. Like, he's feeling really, really guilty about that.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
It is interesting. Cool. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot going on there. It feel that last scene in the trailer also was the like. There's a line where he says something like, "I can't save them all," or "I can't do this alone," or something. And my wife immediately chirps in with like, "Time to get help from like backup Spider."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, that kind of seems where you're going, but you didn't go that far in the trailer," which is interesting. We also had, we discussed last week a bit with Tony, the potential for a Matt Murdock appearance, which also weirdly enough seems like it might happen. I don't know. I really don't. Despite feeling like this trailer shows a lot, it does feel like there is a lot left.
So I watched a breakdown on the trailer, and at one point you see, so the Sandman and then Electro, and there's the lizard like flying in the bottom of the scene. And if you watch the lizard face, it looks like he gets punched in the face by something that is not.
Do they get like painted out?
Either they painted something out, like he's flying, like, "I'm gonna go get you," and then it looks like he gets socked on the jaw, and there's just nothing there to sock him on the jaw at all. And like, okay, something seems like something got edited out or painted out for the sake of the trailer.
I totally believe that. It does feel very much like they've tried to keep wraps on that, and they've done pretty well
be the first time.
But there are, it has, this, certainly stuff has leaked out there, but not enough that I think that most people, you know, big fans obviously, have been following some of this stuff, but I think most people who go there will be shocked if that goes the way that we expect it to.
Yeah,
which I'm excited for. I'm really looking forward to that movie. John, you said you might have to go back to the theater for that, and I'm kind of feeling it too.
The first one, like, I'm skipping Eternals until it comes out on digital, but this one I may have to see in the theater.
I think this is my biggest challenge. Is I'll probably go in the theater, but like, I might have to go. I feel like I have to go earlier rather than later, just because everything will get spoiled if I don't manage to make it in like the first week or something.
Yeah, true. I know.
Yeah, you guys especially are very fortunate that you could just go during the day.
I can't though, because my wife will murder me if I go without her.
Okay, well, that's a different...
I can go.
Yeah, like, that's a different constraint. You know what I mean?
But it's,
like,
true.
Like, there's enough flexibility there that you could just go to a matinee and, you know, not...
Yeah. This is one of the few...
I watched Dune in the theater, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before. I do not regret it. Obviously,
yeah.
To each their own. Be safe, everybody. But, man, if there was one I was going to see in the theater, I'm glad that after a year and a half, 2 years, it was Dune, which was gorgeous. Did I mention Oscar Isaac with like a three?
Yeah, just all the shots of Oscar Isaac were gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Tom Holland Spider-Man is one of my wife's favorites. I think she just always enjoys how ridiculous the movies are. And I think if I went without her, I would be in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Eternals, not so much, but you know. Anyway. Okay. All right. Well, that is a lot. We've discussed a lot today. But
I'm looking at this like, yeah, the three of the, like, Electro, Sandman, and what's his name? Lizard are diving towards Peter, but the Lizard is clearly not diving towards Peter. He's like an entire floor below him diving forward. So he's probably diving at somebody else.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Back. And to the left.
Back and to the left.
All right. So let's wrap up for this week. We will be back at some point next week. Keep an eye on your podcast feeds. Obviously, we're working around the holidays here in the U.S. and some travel plans. But rest assured, we'll be back with coverage of the next episode of Legends Tomorrow and the first two episodes of Hawkeye, probably. So,
man,
we're going to be in trouble.
We're going to be busy. We're going to be earning these paychecks.
That's right. As they get... the coins that get slipped underneath the drawer. So thank you so much, everybody out there, for listening. And of course, thanks to my co-host, John Maltz. Always a pleasure.
I am not in this Spider-Man movie. I just want to state categorically that you may have heard rumors, but I am not in this movie.
That. I think he's... Guy English, thank you for being here.
I am in this Spider-Man movie. Yeah, I played Jimmy Olsen, which is really weird, but
Canadian Jimmy Olsen.
And simply put, I am Spider-Man. Well, thank you everybody out there for following along, reading the transcripts. As always, feel free to shoot us a note at biffandtheincomparable.com or at BiffCast on Twitter. We're around. Buy some wonderful shirts, especially if you need to get them quick for the holiday season. BiffCast
right.
at the Cotton
and,
Bureau.
And I don't know if you're going to be able to get a Hawkeye shirt before Hawkeye starts airing, but you should be able to get it very soon afterwards. And I'm selling two Hawkeye shirts on there. So look for BiffCast. BiffCast on CottonPro.com.
Ooh, Hawkeye shirts. It's a lot. Anyways, thank you everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next week.